Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Tachboi. Is Egypt turning back into the kind of police state that kept the disgraced Hosni Mubarak in power for 30 years before his removal in 2011? Since the coup, hundreds upon hundreds of Egyptians have been killed by security forces, many jailed, including Muslim Brotherhood figures, not to mention a month-long curfew in place. In this debate, we'll discuss Egypt at length, including countries that may be influencing events in the most populated Arab country, like Saudi Arabia.
In Egypt, the human cusp of the ouster of the country's first freely elected leader is on the rise. Only a few days after Egypt's security forces opened fire on pro-Muslim Brotherhood sit-ins in two Cairo camps, more people have been killed in fresh violence across the Arab country. The protests have been called by the Muslim Brotherhood in response to the massacre on Wednesday, which left hundreds dead and thousands of others wounded.
Despite the pain and sorrow over the loss of our martyrs, the latest coup maker's crime has increased our determination to end them.
The bloodshed was the third mass killing of Brotherhood supporters since early July when Mohamed Morsi was toppled. It put the interim government on par with the Mubarak regime, or even worse. While Mubarak security forces killed some 850 people in 18 days of nationwide rallies in 2011, the interim government killed nearly 640 civilians in one single day in Cairo. To confront mass protests, the army has deployed its forces in the capital and the Mediterranean city of Alexandria. The interim authorities have also ordered security forces to use live ammunition in dealing with protesters and in case of attacks on state buildings. Some observers say the escalation of violence shows the army and the interim government have not been successful in handling the consequences of their decision.
There is a large amount of hatred between the two groups. And I think that the heavy-handedness is boomeranging somewhat against the government.
The Egyptian society looks deeply polarized at the moment. The Muslim Brotherhood is digging on their demand for Morsi's reinstatement and their legitimate rights.
We elected six times, and the Islamic people win for six times. And he canceled all that. Why did he cancel it? Where is democracy? Where is our vote?
But the army is still defiant. That makes some analysts believe that things may deteriorate in the coming days.
We're going to have some serious problems for the next few weeks because polarization is at such an extent right now that it is very difficult to get them to talk to each other. The talking should have been done about 2 weeks ago. But both sides were being difficult and posing conditions.
The failed European-American and Arab mediation is also another sign indicating that no immediate reconciliation is on the horizon. However, analysts say at the end of the day, the two sides have no other choice but to begin negotiations one way or another.
Let's get this debate going. Let me introduce our guest. From the Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Azikiwe joins us from Detroit. And we have journalist from Africa Asi, Habib Tawa, joining us from Paris. Gentlemen, welcome. Habib Tawa, let me first start with you. This decision by the army and its security to use live fire ammunition, even Al-Baradei, who's resigned, has said that there were other peaceful alternatives that could have been used. Looking at the situation, things don't seem to be dying down. So why has Egyptian security forces chosen deadly means? Egyptians are getting killed as a way to enforce their rule.
Let's have a clear point about the situation. First of all, we are living in a world of complete disinformation. You should mind that when they speak about people which were dead at the mosque of Rabi al-Adawiyya or close to other places within Egypt, you must have in mind, which is never said in the Occidental medias, that the Muslim Brotherhood have fired on the police first and not the police on the Brotherhood. Today, for example, the deaths which arrived in Cairo are mainly related to the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood started blowing Molotov cocktails on them and firing on them. All these things are completely disappearing within the Occidental medias.
Very well.
At the same time, No, let's continue. If you ask me, I must finish my mind. On the other hand, there is a lot of massacres which have been done in Upper Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood because I was angry. Do you think all these are democratic peoples? I don't think so.
Very well. So let's go with that question that you just posed. Let's say that what you're saying is correct based on your information. Then how do you explain the number of dead, which amounts to roughly about 800, maybe a little bit more, of pro-Morsi supporters as opposed to the 40 or 50 or 60, roughly, of security forces?
If we speak about 2 days ago, to start.
As a whole.
There was more than 50. Yes, but all these 800 people include a lot of policemen or militaries which have been killed by the plotters, because they are plotters, okay? This, and second point, when they fire on you, you must fire on them. And police have said, if you are shouting on us, we will shout on us, on you. And if you look at the manifestations which are going in Egypt, there are very few people relatively to the 33 million of Egyptians who went down against the government of Mohamed Morsi when he was in power. And he never heard nothing about the population. Now you have a very small minority of Muslim Brotherhood which are making terrorism on the population. And I wonder how, for example, people like Iran are sustaining the position of Syria, which is fighting the same enemy, and on the same side, they would like to criticize Egypt, which are making the same fight against the foreign forces. I don't imagine 1 second then Europe or the Occidental countries are working for the well of Egyptians. They are working for their own interest. Nothing more.
Well, if you listen to Iran's President Hassan Rouhani, if you're referring to his reaction when he addressed Parliament yesterday, that's not what he said. He referred to the democratic aspirations of Egyptians not to be crushed and for there not to be deaths occurring. Let's move on. Abiy Azikiwe, our guest there, is indicating that, well, let's go by what the state media in Egypt are branding these people who are being killed at the hands of security forces, the pro-Muslim Brotherhood protesters on the street. They're branding them as terrorists. As a matter of fact, they have this CG, if you want to call it, on top of the screen that says these people are terrorists. Now, how could they be calling them terrorists when the Egyptian security forces are the ones who are killing people out on the streets?
I am saying that they
not
are
you.
Terrorists.
Not you. Abiy Ahmed Zakiwi,
because
go ahead.
They killed the
propaganda war that is going on inside of Egypt itself between those who oppose the military coup d'etat of July 3rd and those who, of course, are attempting to provide a rationale or justification for this massive police and military crackdown that has resulted in the deaths officially of hundreds of people. Now, of course, we get different figures from those who are sympathetic and supportive of the Freedom of Justice Party and the Muslim Brotherhood. However, it's the army, it's the police who have state power in Egypt right now. It is the military-backed interim council that declared a state of emergency inside the country. And they ordered all opponents of the military coup of July 3rd off the streets. They have detained the ousted President Morsi now for over 6 weeks. Other leading figures within the Freedom and Justice Party, the Muslim Brotherhood, and other Islamist trend affiliates are being detained by the government in Cairo. So it's going to be very difficult for them to justify this type of carnage that's going on, particularly in the face of the fact that many of the civilian or secular supporters of this July 3rd military seizure of power are now starting to break ranks with General al-Sisi and the others. And we've seen a tremendous amount of evidence of this over the last few days with the resignation of Dr. Mohamed el-Bardeh, also with the statements that were issued by the April 6th youth movement, the revolutionary socialists, and of course today with the resignation of Mr. Khalid Daoud, from the National Salvation Front, who's saying that he could not any longer justify what the military and the police are doing to people in Egypt. The destruction of the two encampments on Wednesday, and the burning of corpses inside of mosques. All of this is not going to lead to any type of political solution to the crisis in Egypt, and is going to further bring about isolation, political as well as economic isolation, for the existing government right now in Egypt. So they have to come to the realization that there is no security or military solution to this crisis, that they have to open up dialogue with the Islamic currents inside the country.
Well, Habib Taba, when we want to look at the line that is going here, let's look at what the state media is saying, which is kind of coincidental with what Saudi Arabia has branded the people out on the streets. They're calling it terrorist. Do you call that a coincidence? Or is there a push by Saudi Arabia behind the scenes with what is going on in Egypt with the support of this interim government, which was appointed by the army?
I am very sorry to say, but what say my adversary is complete war propaganda, as he say. Because when you look at CNN, you look at Al Jazeera, you look at all the Occidental means of information, it's complete disinformation. Let's tell you a simple example. On the first day when they put people out of Rabi al-Adawiyah, they spoke about 500 or 600 of people making a manifestation in the city of Alexandria, okay? This was official presentation. In fact, it was 500 or 600 people with arms, with guns, with everything going through the city and terrorizing the population. Do you know that when people went away from the position, the Brotherhood, went away from the position which was close to university. Since they were away, all people of the place around them drop on them bottles, drop on them papers, drop on them everything because they didn't want them. 90% of the Egyptians are back of the regime. Don't imagine 1 minute that this regime is fighting against the Western world. And when someone is speaking from Detroit, he is speaking as an agent of American policy which wants to destroy Egypt because Morsi through 1 year was destroying Egypt. And this is why Morsi after 1 year was removed by the people, not by the army. The army was under the pressure of the people, 33 million people. 22 million have signed a paper asking for his resignation. This is why the army was under the pressure of the street, and they only intervened when there was no other possibility or to start a civil war. And now, after a few days, you will see that the order will come back in Egypt. They will put in judgment the heads of the Muslim Brotherhood, because all of these are traitors to the country. And when you see what's going in Sinai, which is part of Egypt, where also the Brotherhood is attacking the Egyptian army, you see from which each side they are working. They are working with Occidental powers, and they are working with Israel against the country. And I am astonished that Iran, which is in Syria, is not also the side of Egypt.
Well, first of all, Habib Taba, if you're talking about the Cairo University incident, based on what we have, security forces raided that university and open fire on the protesters inside the Faculty of Engineering. If you're referring to that incident, that's what we have in our reports. And again, when you talk about Iran, Hassan Rouhani, our president, was very clear about how he's siding with just the notion of democratic aspirations. But when you talk about what's interesting in your statements is how America is destroying Egypt, doesn't quite go with what this some other analysts are saying. Abiyo Ezekiwi, what is the role of the United States here? We've seen flip-flopping of way back from 2011 up to now when Mubarak was ousted, up to even now. Abiyo Ezekiwi, what is the deal with America? Are they working with Saudi Arabia? Are they distancing themselves from some say Saudi Arabia has told the interim government, you know what, let America let go of that aid. We'll give you the $1.3 billion. Is that true? How do you see it?
Of course, the United States has had long fraternal and economic and political and military relationships with the ruling elites in Egypt. This goes back over three decades. And of course, this has been something that we have, of course, observed and are very much aware of in evaluating this entire conflict. However, at the same time, the Muslim Brotherhood had gotten support as well from the Obama administration. They're willing to support a Freedom and Justice Party government. They're willing to support an interim government that's backed by the military as long as these governments do not collide with the interests of Washington, particularly the Pentagon, and of course the intelligence services here in the United States. But it really doesn't matter whether one supports the Muslim Brotherhood or opposes the Muslim Brotherhood. We have been just as critical and had been just as critical of the policies of President Morsi during the 1 year in which he was in office. He made a considerable amount of errors during his tenure in office.
Of disorder.
But at the same time, this cannot justify a extrajudicial removal of him from power. It cannot justify the utilization of snipers against people who are demonstrating in the streets. And we see hundreds of people who have lost their lives. And this is according to the official accounts from the Health Ministry and the Interior Ministry in Egypt. These figures are being supplied through the state-run media inside the country. And of course, the proponents of this crackdown on the anti-coup elements inside the country can in no way justify this type of massive, undemocratic censoring of people who merely oppose the continuing incarceration of the president, as well as this type of military and police crackdown against protesters. They've created an atmosphere inside the country right now where it's going to be very difficult for any type of national reconciliation talks to take place. There needs to be some type of third party intervention in terms of mediating this conflict, because the character of the opposition inside the country, it has become so polarized that it would be almost impossible for Egyptians to sit down and bring about some type of reconciliation to this crisis. We have, on the one hand, supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood. On the other hand, we have the supporters of the military. And of course, there are cracks that are developing in that alliance. The National Salvation Front, there's starting to be divisions within that alliance. And also, some of the more left and secular groups are breaking with this interim council, and even some of the liberal elements as well, because they realize this cannot be justified domestically or internationally.
Very well. Habib Tawa, what about that? Opposition groups, like the Tamarat movement even, we're looking at the NSF, in which we had, the spokesperson resigning today. Are there cracks happening? And it all points to the fact that they're exercising the interim government and the security forces violently, resulting in deaths.
Let's stop bluffing about democracy, because all the power of Mohamed Morsi was not democratic at all. First of all, he was not elected, and the American embassy with Ann Patterson make enormous pressure on the army 1 year ago to impose him as winner of the election. He have lost. This is first. Second point, in last December, he removed the general procurator of the state and he suspended all the constitution. All the Egyptian constitution was taken in his hand. He had at that moment more power than even Mubarak when he was in power. And this is democracy. At this time, where were the friends of democracy? Where was the American when hundreds of thousands of people came down in the street to protest against him? This time, they requested for a referendum. He refused the referendum. They requested to have a composite government. He refused to have a composite government. And you are speaking of democracy. Now all this is a consequence of what happened before. And now when you see that the Muslim Brotherhood has, as the Egyptian ambassador in London said, the Egyptian Brotherhood want to appear as victims. and they are firing on the police in order to have deaths and to have martyrs and to play the game. And all that is lies on lies on lies. And I am sure, to continue, that if you ask now the Egyptian people who he wants, the Muslim Brotherhood will not have more than 5 or 10% of the electorate. And they are trying to make terrorists,
sure
to
make that?
Frighten the people population, and to make frighten the government, and to play the game of all the Occidental powers. Don't imagine 1 minute and France, England, Germany, or America are so loving.
Very well. We're running quickly out of time.
People.
I'm sorry, Habib Tawa. I got to jump in and ask Abiyoye Azikiwe, our guest Habib Tawa, mentioned democracy on more than one occasion. Isn't that exactly what's being killed right now? The notion of democracy, even reports saying people who were against Morsi, they don't like what they're seeing out on the streets by this interim government appointed by the army. Your last comments, 30 seconds.
But when...
Abiyoye Azikiwe.
Yes,
I think that the pro-military elements within Egypt are going to fracture even more, and that there's going to be a turning against the military and the police for the sake of the national reconciliation of the country. There is no solution in an attempt to drive the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic trends completely underground inside the country. This could, of course, lead to an armed civil conflict, which would be bad for Egypt. It would also be bad for people throughout the entire region of North Africa and the Middle East, indeed.
Thank you very much. We have to end it there. You just heard Pan-African Newswire Abiyoye Azikiwe talking to us from Detroit. And thank you very much, journalist from Afrique Asi, Habib Tawa, who spoke to us from Paris. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Do send us any questions or comments. Newsroom@pressreview.ir is our email address. From Mikhail Tafoy and the team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.